For those who weren't here last week, just a recap as to a couple of things that we're doing here at Queen of All Saints for the Lenten season. As you recall, last weekend I had a wedding Saturday night, and cleaning up afterwards, a portion of a host was found among the pews, which of course alarmed me as a priest. And as I said, it's happened so many times that something needs to be done for us to be able to change this whole attitude, this laissez-faire attitude that, well, it's just a piece of bread, because it's not. As we all know, Christ gave us seven sacraments. Of the seven sacraments, six of them come from him, and one of them is him. And that is the sacrament of the Eucharist, of his own body, blood, soul, and divinity given to us in the form of bread, to be treated with the utmost respect and devotion. And so as such, I decided on two things. One, that for the Lenten season as a parish, we would all receive on the tongue in reparation for the sins against the Blessed Sacrament. And you're invited to also kneel down to receive the Eucharist. Thus, you see the kneelers that are here. You know that some people can kneel better than others. So if you can kneel, please do. If you can't, you're welcome to stand, but again, to receive on the tongue and reparation. Not to say that receiving in the hand is illegitimate. It certainly is. We're given that permission by the church. But again, it's just us turning our hearts back to God. And secondly, you'll notice that the deacon and I will be facing toward the altar, toward the tabernacle, for the consecration. It's a sign of all of us together as priests and people turning back to the Lord and facing him, asking his forgiveness for our sins during this Lenten season. As I pondered on all these things this past week, I had to come to grips with the reality that there certainly are forces in the world that do not love God and do not want us to love God. Human forces. But beyond those human forces are other forces that are convincing human beings to lead other human beings away from God and toward our total destruction. If you ask anyone, morally speaking, is the world better off today than it was 50 years ago, the answer, of course, would be no, we are not. Not to say that human beings were ever perfect, we never were, but there were periods in history that people were certainly better off and did fear God more than people do now. I can't pinpoint any one reason why, except for this, that Satan desires souls. So does God, but there are two different reasons as to why. Everything that God is, Satan is not. And everything that God is not, Satan is. And what do I mean by that? We know that God is love, and he is. Satan is hatred. God is peace. Satan is chaos. God is unity. Satan is discord. And he has set himself up as the adversary of God for one reason only, to get you and me away from God and into his own grasp so that we don't take the place in heaven that he lost. It goes back to understanding who Satan is and why he is the way that he is. When God laid the foundations of the world and before he created human beings, he let the angels know what his plan was, and he was going to create beings that would be us like himself in his own image and likeness. Lucifer means the light bearer, the highest of the archangels and the greatest one of all. And he considered himself, remember that angels have a free will like we do. They have superior knowledge to us, but they also have a free will, and of course they can leave God if they wish. But because of their superior knowledge, and because they see God face to face, they can use his free will once and only once. And so God says, you'll be in charge of them. You're my messengers, you're their guardians. And Satan said no, or Lucifer said no. I will not serve, was his response. I will not serve you, I will not serve man. It's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. And thus he divided himself from God along with other angels with him, and hell was created for that punishment. It's the absence of God, which of course is the absence of everything that God is. And Satan, who thinks of us as inferior beings, would not want us taking the place of he and the other angels lost in heaven, and will do everything possible to keep us from getting there. On the other hand, God is love. And sometimes we think, well, God's commandments are too difficult, so why should I be a slave to God and follow these commandments? But if you ever notice, whenever we follow the commandments properly and correctly, we feel a bit better about ourselves. We feel like there's a presence within us that's not of ourselves that makes us something good. When we commit sin, we all know this, that sin is fun while you commit it, otherwise nobody would do it. But after sin is over, how do we feel? Like deflated balloons is my favorite example for that. Something is missing. It makes us less than. So yes, God's way is more difficult. There's no doubt about that. Satan's way is easy. But God builds us up. Satan tears us down. God gives us freedom. Satan enslaves us. God gives us joy. Satan gives us misery and sorrow. So while God's way may be difficult, we think of the way of the cross, it leads to redemption. And that's the whole point. That God has to beat down our pride, because pride is the thing that sets you and me away from God. That's what got Satan cast into hell, and what got our first parents cast out of the Garden of Eden, by thinking that I am better than God, which we are not. With God, it's not like Burger King. You can't have it your way. It's got to be His way. But His way, out of love, is for our betterment. It's always true. To make us perfect, to make us more like Himself, to become better people. The first commandment that God gives is, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Notice that the first letter of idolatry is I. What happens when human beings put themselves above God is that we think we can make ourselves God, and we're not. We're not our own creators. We can't set right and wrong. Only God can do that. And God has the right to be worshipped and adored as He sees fit, as He tells us to. And again, every law, every command given to us by God is not for His own good. He doesn't need that. It's for our own good. God does not need us. We need Him. But God loves us so much that after He created the world in those 5 days, on the last day He sees what He has made, He calls it good and beautiful, and He says, I want to share this with a being like myself who can appreciate it. And so He creates human beings. We know that story. Male and female, He creates them. And God gives the entire universe to us, saying, this is yours. It's my gift to you because I love you. And I want you to share that love. And so He creates man and woman in His own image. And He says, in your love for each other, bring forth new life. Be fruitful and multiply. And we think about that, how God has given human beings the power to create other human beings who are likewise made in His image and likeness. That's the power of love. And that's what God does. Satan can't do that. And he can't stand it. But he only has as much power as you and I are willing to hand over to him by listening to him and giving in to every temptation that he throws our way. Sad thing is, it's the same thing with God. The call to love is always there, but God only has as much power over us as we allow him to have. If we in our free will reject God and bad things happen, that's our fault. If, however, we turn toward God and accept him, even if bad things happen, we realize that those bad things become like a cross that lead to redemption. Because Christ has made us something different. In our sinfulness, our abject sinfulness that drove us away from God, in the fullness of time, as St. Paul says, the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, became flesh. Jesus Christ, who is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, the one who is begotten, not made, through whom all things are made, allows himself to become one like you and me in every way except sin. Never forget that. That's the extreme humility of Jesus that counteracts the pride of Satan. That the immortal and everlasting God would allow himself to become a helpless infant in the cave of Bethlehem. That like us, he would experience everything that you and I experience. Even temptation. So think about that. If you feel joy, Christ felt joy. If you feel sorrow, Christ felt sorrow. Hunger and thirst, Christ felt it. Fulfillment and elation, Christ felt it too. He never sinned, but he certainly knows temptation. And why did he do all that? He did that to take our suffering, our joys, our temptation, everything about our existence, to bring it to the cross, to crucify the sinful humanity, and to raise it up on the third day to make our humanity sacred. That's why, brothers and sisters, our being baptized into Christ means that everything about our lives is good. Everything ordered toward God is something good and holy. God has called us to be good and holy people and to bring goodness and holiness into the world by our living in Christ and Christ living in us. Which is why he further makes himself humble and gives himself as a gift in the form of bread. When we receive the Lord Jesus' body and blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist, we become united to him and we live in him and he lives in us. We become his presence in the world, which again, Satan cannot stand. But Christ wills it so. Thus, Satan uses three ways to tempt us, as he did with Christ, in various forms, but it zeroes down to those three ways: greed, idolatry, and presumption. Turn these stones into bread. Do whatever you want. The world is your oyster. Get as much as you can, as long as you can. The heck with everybody else. It's mine. Those were the words of Eve in the Garden of Eden about the fruit. Mine. When she said that, Satan said of humanity, you're also mine. And God said no. He brings us back to himself. Idolatry means turn away from God, ignore his commandments, do your own thing, worship false gods, yourself, whatever the world offers, anything at all. Just ignore God. He doesn't care. And Jesus replies, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Even if you do whatever you want, God's going to forgive you anyway. You've heard people say that all the time. Oh, God's going to forgive me. That's presumption. God forgives you if you are sorry for what you've done. God forgives you if you want to make a change. The only sin that God cannot forgive is the one that we refuse to ask him to forgive. But if we're not sorry, we don't ask. Again, God does not need us. We need him. It is impossible to please or to serve him without him. And God knows that. Which is why he gives us grace upon grace when we ask for it. We have actual grace just by living in existence. We have sanctifying grace with every prayer that we utter, every good deed that we do, every sacrament that we receive. Every time we unite ourselves to Jesus, we become more like him. Why is the world the way that it is? Because Christians do not take their faith seriously enough. And I would challenge you today, as we recite the creed in a few moments, ask yourself that question: do I believe this? Do I believe in God, the Father Almighty? Do I believe in Christ, his Son? Do I believe in the Holy Spirit? Do I believe all that Christ said and did and teaches? Do I believe in the church that he formed? Do I believe in eternal life? And think about what St. Paul tells us in the second reading. The Word is near you. The Word is Christ, the Word made flesh, who comes to you in your mouth and in your heart. It is a word of faith that we preach to you. And if, after believing and receiving this blessed sacrament, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And anyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. May we believe, brothers and sisters. Turn our hearts back to the Lord and give him everything, body, mind, and soul. For again, as St. Paul teaches, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.